Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE, 844-53-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. It is day two of a dock worker strike at ports along the eastern seaboard and Gulf states. President Biden, before traveling to the Carolinas today, urging the union and the Maritime Alliance to restart negotiations.
Remember, we negotiated a similar strike on the West Coast before, and they worked it out. It's time. They won't even talk. So let's get that done.
The strike could affect the supply chain in a few weeks. Retailers already redirecting some orders to West Coast ports. President Biden will get an aerial and ground tour of the devastation due to Hurricane Helene and directed another 1,000 troops be deployed to help North Carolina's National Guard to deliver critical supplies. The president spoke with G7 leaders and say they're drafting a joint statement denouncing Iran's missile attack against Israel yesterday, saying new sanctions could be imposed. Israel is weighing a response. In South Lebanon, fighting continues. The IDF says 8 Israeli soldiers were killed today in a surprise attack by Hezbollah. This is ABC News. In northwestern Nigeria, more than 100 people are missing after a boat returning from an Islamic festival capsized. The boat's capacity was 100 passengers. Nearly 300 people were on board. New York City Mayor Eric Adams could face more federal charges. Adams has pleaded not guilty to charges accusing him of engaging in a long-running conspiracy to solicit and accept illegal foreign contributions. In a pretrial hearing, prosecutors say they have evidence Adams sought to tamper with witnesses.
Mayor Adams' lawyers have already filed motions calling for sanctions on federal prosecutors, saying they leaked grand jury information to the media, and also trying to get the criminal case dismissed, as Adams' lawyers argue that the bribery charge doesn't meet the legal definition of bribery.
ABC's Phil Tate. Nearly 200,000 Jeep hybrid SUVs are being recalled due to fire risks. It affects Wrangler and Grand Cherokee models. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free. And I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants. I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Former President Donald Trump says he'll crack down on immigration if he gets back in the White House.
I will send in federal law enforcement to liberate every Midwestern town that has been taken over by migrant gangs and criminal alien thugs. We will send them back and we will take back our country soon.
Trump made few specific references to Wisconsin during a stop at Dane Manufacturing in Wanakee Tuesday. He continued to attack President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on immigration and national security. This was the first time a Republican presidential candidate made a stop in Dane County in almost 30 years. Former Republican Governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson warmed up the crowd prior to Trump's remarks. A man was arrested in Arizona this past weekend for a grisly southeast Wisconsin homicide. Friday night, police in Glendale found 49-year-old Teresa De Jesus Cruz Rubio decapitated under a blanket with multiple stab wounds. The woman's son, Alejandro Gonzalez, allegedly admitted to investigators that he killed Cruz Rubio with a kitchen knife. Gonzalez was reportedly using his mother's car earlier that day. That car was found early Saturday morning by police in Phoenix. Gonzalez was jailed and accused of first-degree murder. The discovery of Cruz Rubio's body came as her family members were holding a surprise birthday party for her. A Racine police chase ends with a fatal crash Monday night. Police say they were trying to stop a pickup truck that was involved in a hit-and-run that happened earlier that night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says officers later spotted the truck and tried to pull it over, but the driver didn't stop. The truck headed to Caledonia, hit a tree while fleeing, and caught fire. The driver died at the scene. The Justice Department is conducting a death investigation. The officers involved are on administrative leave. No one was hurt in the hit-and-run crash.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures hit the mid-70s. However, we've got a feisty wind gusting up to 40 miles per hour at times, creating a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Winds ease tomorrow with more clouds and highs in the upper 60s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 68.
Wheat futures led the way to the upside of the grain market today with bean meal prices anchoring beans. That left corn caught the middle, but favoring the upside. Even with corn higher, feeder cattle and live cattle futures pushed sharply higher, while lean hogs ended the day solidly higher.
Live from the majesty of autumn via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Mike North from EverAg. Then it's Emily Eiserstep from the National Dairy Farm Program. And directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. And welcome to the World Dairy Expo, Madison, Wisconsin. A big thank you to Farm Journal's Milk for sponsoring this afternoon's broadcast from the World Dairy Expo. Get more from Farm Journal's Milk at www.dairyherd.com. Buddy, it is a gorgeous day up here in South Central Wisconsin, man.
Oh, it I can only imagine.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you got going down there in the tropics?
I got 76 degrees and sunny, but I'm going to tell you something. Big day today. I'm wearing my first sweater of the season.
Really?
I'm going over to get a shingles vaccine. So, you know, big day. Big day.
It is a big day for you. You know, this sweater and 76 degrees, mm-hmm. that'd be a little premature there. Now, the shingles vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good for you.
On time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You win some, you lose some in Kansas City, you know, or do you just win some, seems like, lately?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are here to wrap up our coverage. You know, wait, did they play already again?
They're about to, yeah.
Okay.
I think they go at three, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, they are knocking on the door. They're thinking sweep. Let's get the sweep done.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. We are wrapping up our coverage from the World Dairy Expo. We're going to talk markets. What's going on in the milk markets, along with risk management. We'll talk about that with Mike North from EverAg and Emily Yeiser Stepp, the executive director of the National Dairy Farm Program. Now, let me scroll down here just a little ways. Let me see. Farmers Assuring Responsible Management.
I like that.
Okay. That's what FARM stands for in this case. So looking forward to the conversation.
It's an acronym.
Yeah, it's an acronym. Cool. Looking forward to the conversations with Mike and Emily. All right, let's get started. What do you got in the markets?
You bet. Wheat futures shot to the upside with ongoing global supply side concerns bringing buyers into the market. Drought in the Black Sea region is likely to leave the winter wheat crop vulnerable to damage this winter. The wheat crop in Australia was also cut by an estimated 1 million metric tons by drought and recent frost events. December soft red winter wheat futures here at home opened lower and on session lows, then rallied to spike resistance at the July 5 high before pulling back to close just below that level. The high range close helped to build upside momentum in the wheat complex. December HRW wheat futures 21 cents higher on the day, 619 and one quarter. December SRW wheat gained 16 and one quarter to 615 and one quarter. Chip, I don't know if you've got the settlement. Spring wheat's not settled on my screen. I've got it up 11 at 645 and three quarters presently.
Yeah, that's what we're going to go with for a quote on spring wheat at this time. The global situation is something that we need to pay attention to. I got to see a presentation by Dan Bossi while he was on the panel for U.S. Farm Report that's going to be broadcast this weekend. And Dan talked very specifically about what's going on in Russia, Ukraine. He also said, listen, we've got to think about putting a war premium back in because of what is happening between Iran and Israel. So, we're putting some volatility back into the markets.
Well, Chip, chart-based buying helped corn futures climb for a fourth consecutive session. Yesterday's close just above the 100-day moving average in front-month corn encouraged more short covering in today's trade. Ethanol production in the weekend at Sept 27 averaged 1.015 million barrels per day, up 21,000 from the previous week and 6,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks in the week were just slightly lower at 23.459 million barrels. December corn futures opened slightly lower and on session lows and rallied to close above resistance at yesterday's high. December corn futures were 3.5 cents higher today, 432.5. March corn up 3.5 to 450. July corn futures closed at 463.75. That's up 3 cents on the day, Chip.
The upside momentum in this corn market right now, it's not the same that we've seen in the wheat market, but corn is building upside momentum, man. It feels like a market that you really don't want to get in the way of right now.
Well, Chip, long meal, short oil spread unwinding sent soybean meal futures sharply lower and lifted bean oil prices. Soybean futures followed meal to the downside. Increased harvest hedge pressure in the U.S. is anchoring bean prices this week, even with dry conditions in Brazil and Argentina. Those are raising concerns about the 24-25 South American supply. Weather forecasters do see increased chances for rain in Brazil's center-south and center-west areas for the second half of next week. November bean futures have posted lower highs and lower lows in each of the past two sessions. Front month beans have resistance at Monday's high of 1069 and three quarters. November beans a penny and a quarter lower, 1056. January beans down 1 1/4 to 1074 and a quarter. March beans closed at 1088 and three quarters, down 0.75 cents.
Yeah, soybean meal today down 710. D soybean oil up 73 points.
Let me knock these out quick. December cotton, yep, 16 points higher today, 73.16. D's fat cattle, 252.5 higher, 187.70. Novi feeders up $3.87.5, 248.55. Maybe we should talk about cattle a little later. And December hogs, $1.17.5 higher at 84.67.5, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, bud?
What's up, Chip? Hey, handsome newsman, you don't have to rub it in that I'm short cattle. I know that I'm short cattle.
Just hang in there, buddy. Just hang in there.
I tell you what, every time that you mention you don't like cattle, I hear about it, Bubba. People are like, yeah. What's he thinking? Why? Why don't you like them?
Who can afford them? Who's going to the grocery store and buying steak today? I don't. Listen, I'm obviously wrong. They've gone up. They continue to go up. But at the end of the day, and I look at the economy and I look at the middle class, they're not thriving. They are starving. And I don't know who's buying all the beef. I know there's still a little bit of a shortage, but the pricing up here does not make sense. And it is my experience that at some point they're going to fall apart. Again, I may get stopped out first. I might have to eat my words, not my cattle, and I might just get beat up. But you know what? I'm willing to take the chance because everything else is working so well that I can take the chance here.
Okay. Well, and what's working so well for you right now is I assume you're on the blue side of the grain markets.
Yeah, I told you last week. We're getting, I think, the inflation trade, and I think we're another couple of positive days away from forcing the shorts to start to come out of the market, which would be obviously big. I don't want them to come out at once. I want them to kind of piece out because I think we have a chance for a long rally in the fourth quarter here in the grain markets. They look really good. And unfortunately, interest rates have not gone up 10 days in a row since they cut. So, you know, again, that cut isn't for you. It's just for the banks so they can make more money, not to help the individuals. I think the inflation trade is coming, which is good. We need to get these prices higher because, unfortunately, as you've watched crude oil and other things the last couple of days, those things are going up too, which is not good for farmers because the input costs are going up again.
Gotta go, Bubba. Thanks, man. Todd Horowitz, Bubba Trading.
Thanks.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons. Just off Highway 25, Durant.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Not that funny. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to AgriTalk and the World Dairy Expo. We are wrapping up our coverage from Madison. Big thank you to Farm Journal's Milk for making our coverage possible here this afternoon. Let's talk about what's going on in the grain markets and the livestock markets and the milk markets with Mike North from EverAg. Mike, it's good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, doing great. Always good to be back with you, Chip.
Yeah, you got any? Go ahead. You can ask the question on the air. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, so how is that long position on the Cubs?
On the Cubs treating me? About as well as the short position in the cattle are treating Bubba. Oh my God. You know, but at the start of the season, here's the thing. Admittedly, the Brewers are the one that's kind of screwed this up for me. Because at the start of the year, I predicted that they would win 84 games, and that would be enough to win the National League Central. They won the 84 games. Just didn't win the National League Central. So,
what's that old song lyric? Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Everything good?
Everything's great. Everything's great. Yes, all right. Indeed. My favorite time
of year. Down, and one of the first things you said was, you know what? I kind of agree with Bubba on cattle. What's why? What are your thoughts?
Well, the consumer, you know, has been resilient. And I think we can say that that's been true for the last several years, in spite of all of the stuff that people have pointed out, the chinks in the armor, the economy, you know, the inflation, you know, kind of the pressures on home prices and construction. I mean, all the stuff. And they've rolled forward and seem to be fairly resilient. I think over time, though, as you look at that, that comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And especially under the pretense of stimulus dollars, it definitely aids their efforts.
Yep.
But now we're watching growing consumer debt at a rate we haven't seen before. We're watching delinquencies on credit cards growing at a pace unequaled since the Great Recession back in 2009. And I think you have to really get down to the brass tacks and ask the question, can they hold on?
Yeah.
Is it even feasible at this point? And, you know, this is a big spending quarter. Q4 is magic.
Right, right.
You probably will see them keep using plastic to maintain lifestyle, but when they go on that retail holiday that usually shows up in January, will they be there?
Right.
Can they support all these markets the way they have?
Yeah.
That's a big question, and I ask the same one.
Yeah, when the Christmas bills start coming due.
That's a fact.
And after they take a look at what the Christmas season did to their account, the balance on their credit cards, that's when they decide, listen, I got to make a change.
Yep.
So the change might be backing away from that higher priced beef in the meat case. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, taking pressure away from, you know, that food service side too. Cause if you've been watching, you know, national restaurant numbers, the outlook for the future is about as dismal as we've seen in a while.
Okay.
So that's a little concerning from, you know, from restaurateurs to have them forecasting that.
Okay. So the timing is watch out in the first quarter for beef.
Yeah. I think we can hold her together for a while, but you're going to see natural cycles, right? Seasonality of calves coming off pasture and bombarding, you know, sale barns. Yeah. That's going to put some natural pressure on the market, but from a real staying power standpoint, I think, you know, especially on the fat cattle side, you know, trickling down through box beef, cutout value, and the whole kit and caboodle, that's where I'd be a bit wary.
Okay, that's the timing there. What's your timing look like on this price recovery that we got going in the grains?
Well, it's been fun to watch, you know, funds unloading some positions still, which not a new trend, but certainly has helped over the last couple of weeks. You know, yes, the interest rate thing helps to some extent, but I think that's more psychological than it is actual transactional at this point, because all they've done is go from, you know, big short to less short. But I think reality is together with the dryness in South America, the talk of a Chinese stimulus package, which there too, you got to ask some questions. Does that reach the consumer or is that only going to hit banking and real estate?
I don't know, but it's so big and so widespread, Mike. Some of it's got to trickle down.
Yeah, you would think. And so we're definitely hopeful there. But I think you also need to respect some of the cycles that have been played. And if you go back the last six, 7 months, what you're going to find is that we meet a point of inflection on about the fifth of every month. So if we were falling into it, we move higher. If we were rising into it, we move lower. And I wouldn't be shocked if end of the week, start of next week, we start to hit that point of inflection and this market starts to soften back and move back south on the heels of what looks like a tremendously big crop.
Yeah.
The reports coming in from our clients is amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like corn built that yield early and found a way to hold on to it, even though it got dry for the last 45 days.
Amazing. No different than last year when we were like, where did this all come from?
Yeah.
I think we're realizing it again this year. And really, I run around the country all winter talking about this, but like, if we have a trend line that moves from bottom left to top right and it's consistent, why do we surprise ourselves every year that we're talking about a record yield?
Yeah, exactly. Brazil,
yeah.
Argentina, yeah. Both are very dry right now. They're delaying their bean plantings. It feels like a bean story right now that could quickly become a corn story, right?
Yeah, especially if we don't get some of these rains that are in this week's and next week's forecast. But like, okay, so last year we had 3.8% of the crop planted. This year it's 2.7.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal yet, but we let this linger a little bit, and it's no different than in our planting cycles where we kind of hit that critical mass and things really take off. Mm-hmm. You know, late April, early May on our side. We're into that same place now with Brazil. And if in the next couple of weeks we don't get that rain, now that critical window of massive planting pace gets delayed. And as you and I both know, you push that back far enough, now you've delayed harvest, which delays the planting of corn, which pushes pollination into their big heat window. Not a good deal.
No.
So, yeah, this does have a domino effect if we don't get some of this rain. But to me, it feels like we jumped on this maybe a little early.
Yeah, and we're talking about the tropics. It's not a question of if it's going to rain. The question is when it's going to rain.
Precisely.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the conversations that you're having with dairy producers here at World Dairy Expo?
All right, so supply-side dynamics, you couldn't have a better story to tell, right?
Right.
And you and I have talked about this, right? It goes back years. We see a short beef herd that yields itself to needing more animals, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now dairy on beef starts to become a thing. We're breeding more animals into beef genetics. That takes away replacements. Didn't mean much when demand was soft, especially globally, but now that's all caught up to us.
Yeah.
And now you've got an aging cow herd trying to maintain the productivity that was set by a younger one in the midst of fighting a bird flu, you know, issue around the country, going through summer heat in critical geographies. And then, you know, coming into a time of the year when we're sending kids back to school, take a little bit more milk away and put it into the bottling program. And we're sending college kids back who have an addiction to pizza and you got to keep feeding them. And football season, oh, my goodness, right? And so, and now that postures us in this place that we're at. But those things are normal, seasonal, expected behaviors. And part of this demand drive into the fourth quarter typically comes to a close as we get into October, especially early November. And so, you know, we've been telling folks, hey, look, this has been a seasonal run like we ordinarily have had with big prices on the other side.
Yep.
Still great supply story dynamics, but don't expect $24 milk to just like hang on forever.
Right.
Because like we talked about on the beef side, consumers do care about price.
Right.
And so you push it too far. And this is the time of the year, by the way, when all of the major food chains and all the retailers are setting their pricing schedules for 2025. Right? This is budget time right now. And if that price gets too high, you don't see it today, but it shows up in February, March.
Great point. Only got about 40 seconds left here. What should a dairy guy do about it?
You got to take advantage of the seasonality. We just had a pullback in the block and barrel, which sucked about a buck and a half out of nearby. And so we're not at 24 plus. You know, we're 22, 23. But you got to be active looking forward into 2025. That Q1, Q2 opportunity today is in the top 5% of all price history. And that's just your floor price. So you can do some great stuff with DRP. You can manage with options at the exchange. And, oh, yes, by the way, we've got feed down to some of the lowest levels we've seen in 4 years. So active on feed, active on milk, lock the margins in, and go have a profitable 2020, 2025.
Fantastic job, Mike. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much. It's good to see you,
too. Hey, great to see you, too.
All right, Mike North, EverAg. All right, we are live at the World Dairy Expo. When we come back, we are going to get into a conversation with Emily Yizer-Stepp from the National Dairy Farm Program.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For December, HRW wheat futures were 21 cents higher at 619 and one quarter. December SRW wheat up 16 and one quarter to 615 and one quarter. And December spring wheat eventually closed at 649. That's up 14 and one quarter cents today. December corn futures 3.5 cents higher, 432.5. March corn up 3.5 cents to 450. November beans were a penny and a quarter lower, 1056. January beans down 1.25 cents to 1074 and one quarter. December cotton today was 16 points higher at 73.16. On your livestock's Dease Live Cattle, 252.5 higher at 187.70. Novi feeders up 387.5 to 248.55. And Dease Hogs up 117.5, 84.67.5. Hey, won't you visit tryprofarmer.com?
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures hit the mid-70s. However, we've got a feisty wind gusting up to 40 miles per hour at times, creating a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Winds ease tomorrow with more clouds and highs in the upper 60s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 68.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
I said the nation on
And welcome back to Agri Talk in the World Dairy Expo up in Madison. Big thanks to Farm Journal's Milk for being our sponsor for this afternoon. Just learn more about what is happening in the dairy industry. Go to www.dairyherd.com. Emily Yizer-Stepp is the executive director of the National Dairy Farm Program. In this case, FARM is an acronym that stands for Farmers Assuring Responsible Management. Emily, it's good to meet you. How are you?
It's great to be here. And what better place to be than at World Dairy Expo this week, huh?
Yeah, you've been coming to World Dairy for quite a few years.
Quite some time now. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So your involvement, I mean, it started when you were a kid here, right?
Yeah. So grew up in Maryland through the 4-H program there. And for a long time, never had animals that were of the caliber to grace the colored shavings out here, but did some judging through 4-H and collegiately. And then our first heifer that graced the colored shavings was in 2005. And we had some lovely success last night from descendants from that family, which was really cool for us too.
Yeah. Wow, lovely success. Yes. I want to hear about that. What happened?
We ended up second in a class of 51 winner calves last night in the Brown Swiss show and was first best bred known. So it was pretty happy night for us last night.
I guess. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fantastic. It is. Okay. Tell me about the farm program.
National Dairy Farm Program is the U.S. dairy industry's on-farm social responsibility program. And what that really means is that we help our dairy farms communicate the good that they're doing on their farms to the customers and consumers for their trust and assurance in the dairy aisle.
Okay. How did it start?
Yeah. So in the early 2000s, and certainly our barnyard friends and swine and poultry and beef had been doing this for a while. And dairy in the early 2000s said, how are we going to maintain that trust and assurance in the dairy space with all the noise that was out there about where and how our products were produced? And so a collaboration between National Dairy Checkoff with Dairy Management Inc. and National Milk Producers Federation came together and said, how can we create the learnings from all of our barnyard friends, a quality assurance program to communicate the success of our industry? So in 2009, came together with that collaboration and established our National Dairy Farm Program, really focused on animal care and animal welfare. And ever since, over the last 15 years, have grown into different spaces, including environmental stewardship, workforce development, as well as a key pillar these days is biosecurity as well.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who would have ever thought that HPAI would be a problem for the dairy herd? Exactly. And here we are. So, we need to stay focused on it. Who is the program for?
The program is for and run by the industry. So it's fully funded by Dairy Checkoff, by our dairy farmers. And it is really the ability for us to gather data and proof points to communicate the good about the dairy industry to our customers and consumers. So all the way throughout the supply chain, from our co-ops and processors up to those CPGs and retailers like the Costco's and the McDonald's of the world, in addition to our dairy consumers, so that they know that the milk and dairy products they're purchasing, they can feel good about purchasing.
Yeah, consumers, they want to know.
They do.
They want to know that everything is being done right on the farm that is providing their food.
Absolutely.
So this is it's an interesting it's more than an interesting program. It is a program that over time has become a necessity.
Yeah, and it's been really successful really because it is a unified program, right? Yeah. All of those customers could have created their own ask, their own standards, but the importance of it is that we have farmers at the table making the decisions, setting the standards, establishing the best management practices that help for long-term business sustainability so that we have a marketplace to sell our products into.
Okay. So how does it work? How do you get the information into producers' hands?
Yeah, so we really rely very heavily on our co-op and processor network. So they are the implementers of the program. As they say, we want to adopt the farm program, whether that's the animal care pillar, the environment pillar, or the workforce development pillar. They adopt those. On-farm evaluations are done by certified, trained evaluators that are annually recertified. And then we aggregate that data at a national level and communicate, again, through the checkoff network to those customers and consumers, the good and the dairy proof points that we have to communicate to keep people giving us a marketplace.
Okay. You've used the term pillars.
Yes.
More than once already. So I assume that those are the kind of the foundation for the information that you're putting out?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yep. Okay. And so today we've got about 99% of the fluid milk supply involved in the animal care program. So again, that was the first pillar that was kind of created out of farmers assuring responsible management. But we really did kind of tailor it that way so that it could expand in the future, recognizing the customer marketplace and the consumer marketplace was going to evolve with some of these other, you know, I would call them ESG type topic areas. And so it can be a holistic program for our co-ops and our processors if they want to adopt all the pillars, or if they're not getting customer pressures from certain areas, you know, they can hold off for a while and not need to adopt things if they don't feel the need to. So it's really kind of a custom made kind of pick your own plan approach as you need it.
Right. Environmental side of it. Is happening in the environmental pillar?
Yeah, what's not happening in the environmental pillar? I feel like it's been a lot of different things happening in the sustainability space and dairy in general. But certainly, we're really excited. We're on the cusp of releasing of the latest version of the environmental stewardship pillar, which will include what is called the RUFIS model, so the ruminant systems model that has just expanded the engine and the robustness of being able to better communicate our GHG and carbon footprint. And as the marketplace has exploded with those opportunities, having a model that is scientifically justified, has so much academic power behind it, it will just continue to create competitive advantage for us here in the U.S. dairy market to communicate the good stewardship that we have to environment, where the rest of the globe, you know, is certainly looking at us saying, how are we going to achieve a lot of these goals that people have put out there?
Yeah. Do you think there comes a day where consumers are going to be willing to pay a premium for milk with a low carbon intensity score?
I think that will remain to be seen. I think it'll be pretty interesting as the marketplace evolves. It certainly could be an area for advantage for us in the future.
But it's something that's got to be documented. And Absolutely. The story needs to be told.
Absolutely. And I think we've seen it across all of our pillar areas. You know, as we talk to our dairy farmers, they say, well, we do all of this. And we do all of this. But if it's not documented, it never happened, right? So as long as we have that track record and those proof points to gather that data along the way, it just makes our job all the easier to sell the product and be competitive, not only domestically, but also globally.
All right. Very cool. Talk about the workforce development pillar.
Yeah, our workforce development pillar is one of our newer pillar areas. And it's one that really the intersection of kind of that customer-consumer interest met the dairy farmer need, right? A lot of our dairy farmers didn't get into dairy farming to manage people.
Right.
They got into it to manage cows. And so they were coming to us as National Milk Producers and Dairy Management Inc. and saying, hey, how do we best position ourselves for workforce development and HR and safety? And be very clear here, we are not OSHA. We are not checking regulatory frameworks by any means. But what we are hopefully doing is creating a best management practice arena and platform. So as producers kind of enter into these spaces, that they have the resources and templates to do what's best for their workforce. And as we all know, the labor market is tight. Yeah. The interest in labor is going to continue to evolve. And so how best we can support the industry is really what we're aiming to do with that pillar area.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you helping them? Producers make sure that they're following all the official rules and regulations of the workforce?
So every year we update we have state regulatory fact sheets as well as federal fact sheets. We really leave that to the regulation aspect of things, but we use our evaluator network to, again, kind of work through that professional development. Who are their resources and their profit team members could come around the table that can help support them and make sure that those are happening. And then our best management practices and guidelines that we put out there is, you know, hey, is your first aid kit full? Right. Do you need an employee handbook? Hey, here's a template that you can follow and work with your trusted advisors to tailor for your operation.
Yeah. Well, in agriculture, if you're going to do that, I would assume that there's some bilingual.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is translated. Yep. We've got all the resources. Most of our resources are translated in Spanish. We have great partnerships with individuals that help do that so that it is meaningful for our workforce on farm.
And those resources, Are they available for a producer to get their hands on and use it on their farm?
Yes. Yes. So everything is on our website at nationaldairyfarm.com, but also they should reach out to their specific co-op and processor who also have access to those opportunities on in hard copy as well. Recognizing even our plain set community can benefit from some of these templates and opportunities that we have created. And it's all free of charge, right? Their checkoff dollars have already gone to create these opportunities for them. So they might as well have every opportunity to access them.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, it's kind of a guidebook. You're providing kind of a guidebook on, you know, how to do things right.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, what we continue to see is that our farmers are doing things right.
Yeah,
right. It's just, it is this opportunity to have the defensive mechanism and to actually go on the proactive, right? So oftentimes we're kind of on our heels on some things as questions come about the industry. And this is our opportunity to say, hey, look, we are doing all of these things and we've been doing them for centuries, you know? And so it's really just putting it all together in a nice package.
Documenting it and telling the story.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. Annalee, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Chip.
We certainly appreciate it. And this is a program that that obviously producers need to check into. How do they get to it again?
Yeah, nationaldairyfarm.com is our main website. And if they have questions, reach out to their co-op or processor, or they can also email us at dairyfarm@nmpf.org.
Perfect. Emily, thank you so much. Emily Yizer-Stepp, she is the executive director of the National Dairy Farm Program. All right, we are going to be wrapping up our coverage from Madison and the World Dairy Expo. Davis Michelson and I will be right back here on AgriTalk.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Chip Flory is there.
Yeah.
Oak Dairy Expo in progress. Hey, I kind of want to ask you here, and I'll just lay this out here.
Okay.
But I do want to ask you just sort of a softball question about the attitudes this year compared to last year. But first, we never did get to the cattle news. I just want to rattle this off quick and get your impressions here. The news from today on the cattle market: strong boxed beef movement, 118 loads, helped the cattle complex trade sharply higher. Today's close was the highest in Dease cattle since July 31st. Now, I've been doing just a little bit of agri-math, and the October contract at 187.42 and a half at today's close, if we have another day like today, we're going to see that October contract hit 190, baby. Finally, finally we get 190 October, huh?
Yeah. It is completely possible. And the way that you look at things right now, that the Dease contract, I believe, has already rattled like 14 and a half bucks from the low that we posted about a month ago.
Yeah. It
has been an impressive upside recovery. And like you said, here we are knocking on the gate, getting ready to break through to some new ground. It is very impressive. Now, you know, Bubba expressed some concerns over beef demand today. Mm-hmm. Mike North basically said, watch out after the first of the year. That's when we might start to see some evidence that consumers are backing away from beef. But the way things are right now, we got the heavyweight choice graded box beef back at $300, just over that level. And we moved 118 loads of beef this morning. That is a really impressive wholesale beef market that can continue to bring some support to the live cattle market. And eventually, and I don't know if it has to happen now or even the first part of next year, but eventually it still feels like a market that has not made its all-time high. And the reason that I say that is at some point, the cow-calf producer is going to start saving back some heifers to replace old cows to expand the beef herd, and those heifers are going to come out. They're never going to see the feedlot. They're going to go straight to pasture, and that will reduce our beef supply one last time and give us an opportunity for one last push to the upside in the cattle market. So,
okay, but heifer availability, though, I mean, that isn't that kind of industry-wide a bit of a concern?
It is for the dairy guys, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. And part of the reason for that, we've talked about it two or three times since we've been here, but I think it is definitely worth going back to again. The beef on dairy movement really started, call it 4 years ago. And then it kind of went mainstream, call it 3 years ago. Well, here we are that much time later. We've continued to put three beef on dairy calf crops into the system. But what we aren't doing is having to deal with any excess heifers. So the heifers that we've got, the dairy heifers that we've got, are enough to replace the cows that are being culled, but they are not enough to expand the herd. So we've got replacement heifers. We just don't have any expansion heifers in the dairy industry right now. Okay. And well, quite frankly, we don't have it in the beef industry either, because that female is still worth more in the feed yard than she is out on pasture. So we just don't have any expansion heifers in beef or dairy at this time.
Real quick, if we're talking whether crops, input costs for dairies, mm-hmm. it feels like improved margins here. We talked to Dr. Jim Mintert, who is not seeing improved attitudes and or sentiments among his survey respondents. Talk to me about attitudes where you are, brother.
Way better than what they were a year ago when we had $15 milk.
Yeah,
I mean, it's it feels like a completely different atmosphere here. A year ago, it felt like everybody here was kind of whistling through the graveyard, kind of you know, laughing through the dark times. Everybody had a stiff upper lip and had their chins up, and they were continuing to push forward. But the concern that we had a year ago was very, very real. Now, just coming off of $24 milk, we still got $22 to $23 milk. We've got cheaper meal than what we had a year ago. We got a big corn crop that's being harvested. The silage yields on corn, I think, were pretty doggone good this year. So everything kind of seems to be clicking for the dairy industry right now. But I mean, to a person, with people that are helping dairy producers manage their marketing risk, everybody's talking about build that floor. I don't care if you use insurance or puts, build the price floor underneath this market, because we've seen it before. If the rug gets pulled out from underneath this dairy market, we could make that move from $22, $23 milk down to $18 milk, and that's kind of your break-even level at this time.
I've heard it said it's hard to go broke when you're making a profit, Chip.
Yeah.
How does that go? That old saying?
You might as well grab the money when it's there. Show me the money, baby.
That's it. That's it.
That's
preach.
It. That's it. All right.
The weather didn't change.
Service, the 6 to 10 day outlook for October 8th through the 12th. Boy, believe it or not, above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, except for the far east. Indiana, Ohio, looking at near normal to below normal temperatures, but below normal precipitation across the entire country in the 8 to 14 day for October 10th through the 16th. Those above normal temperatures push into Indiana and Ohio. Above normal temps expected over the Corn Belt, and below normal precipitation expected over the Corn Belt as well. Thank you so much for listening to our coverage from the World Dairy Expo. Come back tomorrow morning, new NCGA President Kenny Hartman Jr. We'll talk the dock workers' strike.
It's harvest time across the region, and that means long hours for you and the machines you depend on. It also means a heavier load of dust, dirt, and contaminants for those machines. That's why you should protect them with Donaldson filters. Donaldson offers a full line of air, fuel, lube, and hydraulic filters, engineered to deliver superior performance and protection for your equipment. No wonder so many OEMs worldwide specify Donaldson filters. After all, Donaldson literally invented the tractor air filter. Ask for Donaldson filters at your local parts supplier today.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormone.